Mr. Andry.
Yes, sir. May it please the court, counsel. On page 7 of my brief, I made a statement of what occurred on April 8, 2006 in this case. In this case, my client was a superior to a white subordinate nurse's assistant. My client was an LPN, and she had been instructed to tell this nurse's assistant that she was mandated to do overtime. The nurse's assistant started screaming and yelling and calling her crazy. Told her, "I'm not going to do what you tell me to do." Said, "You're not my nurse. Joyce, a white nurse, is my nurse."
Mr. Andry, what's the basis for your factual narration?
The reason for that I make that point is...
Mr. Andry, what is the basis for your factual narration?
It's the deposition of my client that was taken and her testimony.
Was this information in the defendant's motion for summary judgment?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Because here, when we are here, we have to take every allegation in the defendant's motion as admitted by you.
Well, Your Honor, the motion by the defendant included the statements of my client and the deposition of my client and included where she, in fact, disagreed with statements that were made. So even if we look only at the motion on the behalf of the defendant.
That's all we can look at because
why
you did not file a response.
Why wasn't there a response filed by you?
Because I became ill. I was ill for a period of time. For the last couple of years, I was ill, actually, and resulted ultimately in my hospitalization. And what I did
Andry,
was...
Why did you repeat that performance in this court? You didn't have any illness claim here. In this court, you asked for 4 successive motions of extension to time to file your brief. The last one said no further extensions will be granted. You nonetheless filed 2 weeks late. And what you filed in the end was essentially identical to what you filed in the district court more than a year earlier.
And in September of this year was when I was hospitalized. I had been experiencing difficulties with my health over the last 2 years. As much as I've learned as an attorney, I haven't learned how to heal the sick, and I haven't learned how to change weather conditions. So I can't do anything about the fact that I experience health problems.
Your requests for more time in this court didn't mention health.
In September of 2009 was when I was hospitalized.
I have copies of your motions for extension of time, Mr. Andry.
You asked me why I had asked repeatedly for extensions of time. They had to do with health. They had to do with other matters that were pending at the same time. But the point was that even if you don't take into consideration anything that the plaintiff filed, and you look just at the filings on the...
It's not clear to me we should take into consideration your brief in this court.
Well, even if that's true, the question still becomes whether or not they're entitled to summary judgment. They can't be entitled to summary judgment if the law doesn't back up their entitlement to summary judgment. And in this case, there's a situation where my client was disciplined because she followed the instructions that were given to her by her white superiors. My client was the only black LPN in that whole ward. And everything that took place had to do with a confrontation between her and a white subordinate when she was issuing an order to that white subordinate that was given to her by her superior. The subordinate threatened my client. The subordinate told her to get out of her face, told her to write her name right, told her she wasn't listening to her and wouldn't do what she said. The net result was that my client wound up disciplined, not the white subordinate. In addition, when my client pointed out to her superiors, again, these were the facts that were brought out in the defendant's motion. When my client pointed out that the defendant was acting strangely and appeared to be intoxicated, that was taken, even though she's required to do that, that was taken as a negative against my client, not against the subordinate. So the subordinate received an admonishment, and my client received a suspension. The basis of the suspension later on became a reason for my client's termination. So it's all part and parcel of the episode that took place in April of 2006. Now, the law in summary judgment requires that you have to infer, you have to give all deference to the rendition that's given by the plaintiff. And whether or not that rendition is given in the defendant's motion or whether it's given in a response to the defendant's motion, you can't get summary judgment if there are differences as to the facts. And there are extreme differences as to the facts in this case. Now, counsel tries to compare the white subordinate nurse's assistant to the actions of my client by saying both were disrespectful. It's apples and oranges. My client was threatened. She wasn't just confronted by a disrespectful nurse's assistant. She was told to get out of her face. She was told that she would not follow her orders. And to say that somehow it's okay for a nursing assistant who threatens her superiors to do that, and therefore she only gets an admonishment because of her prior history, and my client, because she was fulfilling the orders that she was required to do, suffers a suspension which escalates to a termination, just simply doesn't support summary judgment in this case. That's the reason we appealed. That's the reason that we are here. The reason that I was tardy in my presentations had to do with health and other business that I had to deal with.
Health and other business.
And other business. That's correct. Now, the situation that we find ourselves in now is, again, my client is measured by a disciplinary guideline that applies not only to LPNs, but to LPNs, RNs, and also nurses' assistants. Now, counsel tries to say, well, when we look at what happened with my client, we have to look at the position that my client was in as an LPN. Well, the problem with that argument is that the guidelines apply, the disciplinary guidelines apply whether you are an LPN, an RN, or an NA. They're all the same disciplinary guidelines. And if you threaten your superior, there are no necessity that you be treated any differently based on the fact that you're an NA versus an LPN or versus an RN. And my client was. Now, the district judge conceded that the termination was within a short period of time from the time that she had filed complaints of discrimination concerning the 14-day suspension. So on the basis of that, we then feel that the retaliation claim, there is a causal connection, because that was the only argument that was made by the district court and by counsel, was that there wasn't a causal connection. So we feel that there's evidence that a jury could determine that there was discrimination and that a jury could determine that there was retaliation. For those reasons, we feel that the district court's decision should be reversed. I'd like to save the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Mr. Hall.
Thank you. Please, the court, Mr. Andry. As the court has pointed out, the first issue is the motion to vacate as to whether or not Judge Baker abused his discretion in denying Mr. Andry's motion, basically seeking forgiveness instead of permission to submit his motion for summary judgment late. Judge Baker explained in his order that the case had started in 2007, that there were recited extensions of time, and that after reciting extensions of time, after having given Mr. Andry an extension he asked for on November 26, granted on December 1 due to health and litigation issues and family issues, allowing Mr. Andry December 15 to file his response to motion for summary judgment, Judge Baker waited to December 19, 4 days after it was due, nothing from Mr. Andry. Judge Baker entered the order 10 days after the order was entered. Mr. Andry files his three-page short cursory explanation saying that due to a long litany of recited medical and pharmaceutical situations of which no one takes light, and due to one particular litigation case and due to inclement weather, he was not able to submit a timely response. Judge Baker did not abuse his discretion in denying that motion. Mr. Andry did not explain how the litigation, how his medical conditions or the one litigation case or the bad weather prevented him at a minimum from asking prior to December 15 for another extension, and his summary motion to vacate simply gave the judge nothing to go on. It listed a whole series of medications and series of medical conditions with no indication whether or not those conditions had arisen since his last motion for extension November 26 or were ongoing and not mentioned. For that reason, we would ask the court to affirm Judge Baker's decision on the motion to vacate, which also leaves then the issue of granting the unopposed motion for summary judgment. We believe that the judge was correct in granting the unopposed motion for summary judgment. The facts simply are that there was no direct evidence of race discrimination, no direct evidence of reprisal, clearly no prima facie indirect case because the persons she identified were not similarly situated, either by job title, she was a licensed practical nurse, trying to claim that nursing assistants and registered nurses are similarly situated to her, which they by definition are not, and their disciplinary histories were greatly different. And as far as the argument as to the events of April 8, 2006, Ms. Williams was not disciplined for having the exchange, trying to tell the nursing assistant to work overtime when the nursing assistant was surprised by that. The difficulty was that Ms. Williams, the plaintiff, was in a supervisory position to give direction to a nursing assistant who had just completed an 8-hour shift at the VA, in the VA, on the ward, and loudly pronounces in front of other employees that she's intoxicated or under drugs. No one said she was intoxicated or under drugs. It clearly she was upset at having to work a later shift. Significantly, Ms. Williams was advised of the proposed notice of suspension, elected not to respond to it. She did nothing in response, did not raise these arguments to the Associate Director for Patient Care Services trying to make the decision. She did nothing. Similarly, same thing in the termination. The district court was correct in its assessment. And that's all I have, unless the court has another question for me.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Andry?
Yes. Counsel again points out that I made it clear to the court the medical conditions that I suffered from. I specifically indicated my pharmaceutical regimen that I was involved in, and so there was no mystery as to why it is that I was not timely with my response. We should have been allowed to respond, and in fact, whether again we responded or not really doesn't meet the point, because even if you look only at the motion and the fact that it refers to the deposition testimony of my client and the answers my client gave to interrogatories, those made it clear what the factual issues were. In fact, the defendant conceded.
Mr. Andry, the district court's opinion says that your habit of not filing timely responses dates back at least to 2001. Is that a correct description of what's going on in the district court?
No. I've never had anything.
Well, that's what footnote 4 in the district court's opinion says. No. And, of course, the district court, in the order denying reconsideration, said enough is enough.
No, I didn't have any cases in the district court in 2001 that I'm aware of. I had cases in 2000.
Were not the lawyer in Prince v. St. Anne High School District or the lawyer in Newsy against Bourbonnais Elementary School District?
I was the lawyer in Prince versus St. Anne's, which was settled, and I am still the lawyer in the cases of Nuzzy. My health problems have been in the last 2 years, not since 1991. And in 1991, there was never an issue raised concerning the prosecution of that case. In fact, that case was settled before Judge Bernthal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The case will be taken under advisement.